Before we start, I'll just introduce you to Andy. So Andy, he's the host of Sales Enablement Podcast. He's also the head of Revenue Performance Evangelism at RingDNA. And he'll be speaking about getting the right sales mindset, 6 steps for sales reps to achieve consistent success.
All right. Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you for having me here. And I hope everyone that's participating is staying safe and healthy. And so I'm going to talk about the mindset for sales success. And I think we all know about confidence and persistence and resilience, these qualities that are they're usually talked about in conjunction with mindset. But for me, the problem with that is that those are attributes of the seller. And I think that really the key to the sales success mindset really begins with the buyer. And you think about it from the buyer's perspective is they're trying to accomplish a certain task. They have a job to do. And that job is to make a purchase decision, right? I mean, they have a job to make a good investment and to ultimately have a solution that produces a certain desired outcome. But the first job they're working on right now is to make a purchase decision. So you think about what is the buyer's job in this context? And so the buyer's job is to quickly gather information, to make an informed purchase decision with the least possible investment of time, effort, and money. Think about it, is your buyers don't set out to spend a year to make a purchase decision on something that they could get done in 6 months if they were able to, if the right support came from sales, as a matter of fact, because oftentimes the gating item in being able to make a decision is how we sell to the prospect. So the buyer's job today has even changed somewhat. It's not just to make those informed decisions, but they need to solve strategically urgent problems. You know, today in the era of the pandemic, solve strategically urgent problems that provide a fast return on investment. And so their new focus is on speed to value, speed to outcome, right? How quickly can we identify these critical problems that need to be solved now? Perhaps they were part of a larger project that you were working on, you know, transformation project, but now of that big transformation project, we only have the funds and the resources and the effort right now to really focus on a smaller part of that. So find the problems that need to be solved now that offer quick payback with low risk. And the critical thing is they can't waste time in their buying journey. So your job as a seller, when you think about it in that context, is your job is really not to sell to the prospect. Your job is to help your buyer make the purchase decision. And so your mindset, when you have that, I mean, yes, we want to get orders, we want to close deals, but the way we approach it is not by being about us. It's not about saying, look, we're trying to persuade you to do something. It's we want to be involved in this process and help you make this purchase decision. So our mindset that we need to have is that we're there to serve, not sell. We're here to help you, the buyer, accomplish this job that you have set out. And so you think about what is sort of the attributes, the mindset the buyer needs from you in order to get their job done. I mean, you think about sort of the way that we hire, the attributes we hire salespeople with is, you know, does your buyer need you to be a hunter, an extrovert? They need you to be persuasive? Do they need you to be a closer? No, those are not attributes that help, or mindset attributes that help the buyer get their job done at all. What they need from you is they need just some business acumen, a specific type of acumen I'll talk about. They need, that's a mindset oriented acumen. They need you to have insatiable curiosity. They need you to have an open mind, and they need you to be a creative problem solver. So let's take a look at some of these a little more deeply. So business acumen, yeah, we all know that acumen has to do with knowledge, right? We have some experience working with business. We understand the customer and their markets and maybe our customers' customers and how they use our customers' products. We understand how our customer uses our product in order to achieve a certain outcome. But there's a mindset around how you use that information that's really important in terms of serving the buyer to help them make that informed purchase decision. And what starts with is business acumen, really for sellers, is not about recognizing how one sales situation is similar to all the others, but it's understanding how it's different. See, this is really critical because too often in sales, we default to sort of this cookie cutter approach to selling, right? Every customer is a round peg we're trying to put into a round hole. But The fact is, every single customer situation is unique. The people you're dealing with are unique. Their requirements are somewhat unique, if not absolutely unique. So you can't go in saying, look, everybody, let's say, is a round peg trying to fit in a round hole, when in fact, most of your buyers are square pegs. And if you just spend a lot of time trying to fit them into round holes, it's just not going to work. So this is really critical. And then the next part of acumen, this really critical part of your mindset, it's not about knowing all the answers. It's about knowing which questions to ask, right? So if you understand, recognize from a mindset perspective, yeah, this is a unique situation I'm dealing with. What are the questions that I should ask in this environment? So mindset is, you need to be able to crank up your curiosity as part of your job to help the buyer make a decision. So one is, you need to extend your curiosity. Ask the extra question. You just have to have that in your mind. Is just when you think you know everything, ask the extra question. It's like being a seller when you've, you know, made your 15, 20 calls for the day. Make that extra call because you never know what's going to come out of it. Ask the extra question. It's going to open a door perhaps you hadn't anticipated. Make sure you're not just sticking to your scripted questions, but back to the thing about context, about business acumen in a unique environment, ask questions you don't know the answer to ahead of time. This is a mindset you need to have, is because you're exploring, you're extending your curiosity. And always use good follow-up questions like, God, Mr. Prospect, that's really interesting. So tell me more about that. Or what else can you tell me about that? Because when you are curious about other people, the science is very clear. It's one of the ways to make yourself interesting to other people is to be interested in them. Your curiosity does that. You need to listen with an open mind. And this is a really important mindset you need to have as a seller, is you want to be a learn-it-all, not a know-it-all. So it goes back to your curiosity, is you don't want to approach the prospects yet. Yeah, we know exactly what your problem is. Yeah, we've seen this a million times, right? We know just what to do for you. You know, that really puts off prospects, puts off buyers, because they think their situation is unique. You need to acknowledge it. In fact, it is unique. So you need to be in that, have that mindset, is I'm here to learn. And most importantly, you're there to understand. Okay? So understanding is a real source of value for prospects. So, sorry, I got distracted by the poll there for a second that popped up on the screen, is you're there to listen to understand. Not listen to respond, but listen to understand. Because one of the things that's really frustrating to buyers is they feel too often that sellers deal with them on a very superficial level. They don't really understand the problems and the concerns and the challenges the buyers have. And it's one of the things that leads to buyers deciding not to proceed with the deal, to make the no decision. It was because they don't feel the seller completely understands where they're coming from. So this mindset is, we're there to understand. We need to be creative problem solvers. Yes, you understand what the gaps are between your current, the buyer's gaps between their current state and their desired outcome, and what are the internal barriers to change for a buyer. So for us as creative problem solvers, as we say, look, okay, we're take this information in, and how do we present back to them in a creative, unique way that create a vision for them that says, this is how we're going to help you bridge those gaps and hurdle those barriers. So just to sum up quickly, 6 steps for your mindset. One is, you're there to serve, not sell. You're there to help the buyer make a purchase decision. It starts with, what does your buyer need from you? That's what informs your mindset. And they need your curiosity. They need your open mind. They need your creative problem solving. And they need your business acumen. All right.
Hey, Andy, thank you so much for the insightful presentation. I will share the presentation with you guys after the event is done. So, Andy, you'll have your speaker page ready as well after the event, where we can put all these resources.
Okay.
So let's jump on to the Q&As. So the first question that we have is from Deepak. He asks, one tip which always works for e-commerce based business to drive the sales and generate repeated revenue from customers. So what are the tips?
From a, just in general, from a mindset perspective.
So from your perspective.
From my perspective. So repeat the question for me, please. I was sort of thinking, I was getting...
So any tips which always works for e-commerce based businesses to drive sales and generate repeated revenue from customers?
Well, I mean, they're the obvious ones, but I think for me is if you haven't read a book called The Forever Transaction by a woman named Robbie Kelman Baxter, I urge that people do that, because she talks about the critical thing is to help your customers reach that moment where they take off their customer hat and they put on their member hat, where they feel a sense of belonging to this community that you've created around your product, and a sense of belonging as a member to, you know, sort of the movement and the mission of the product and service you're selling. So it's like that, she's an expert in this more than I am, but it's that critical transition. I think too often we don't try to include our customers. We don't try to deepen our connection with our customers. You know, every time we talk to them, how do we deepen that connection? How do we deepen our understanding of the buyer and the customer? You know, and how do we help them feel like they're part of where we're going?
Okay, so the next question that we have is, how does a mindset help overcome the skill gap?
It doesn't, right? You still need skills. But I think that, you know, at an early part of your career, and I was fortunate to learn a lot of this early in my career, is that it enables you to have, sort of enter the conversation, if you will, right? Where the customer, I think back to a story, my sort of first big deal I was working on. I was fresh off college. I looked very young. I had no idea why the buyer would even consider buying from me. I looked like I was 16 years old and I was trying to sell this computer system to their business. And there was just this connection I was able to make by just being interested, because I knew nothing about this person's business. And I was just asking questions, and it was clear that I couldn't answer all the questions that this person was asking me, but I made that connection. And for me, this ability to form a connection, because I've sold complex technical products most of my career where I was not the expert. I didn't have all the answers. I didn't have the technical skills necessary, but I was able to start that connection. I was able to understand what they were trying to do. I was, you know, very curious. You know, that's probably the only skill I had when I first graduated college. I was just curiosity. And so, yeah, it helped me bridge the gap until such time as I had the skills. And I think that's really the important thing is it's not an either or. Is if you're going to start somewhere, you're sort of deficient on skills when you start, you can embrace the mindset and perfect that almost instantly. And that will help you bridge that point where you develop the skills.
Right. So the next question that we have is 5 tips to improve individual sales performance. 5 tips. Yeah. What are those?
Oh gosh, there are a million, right? But here's what I would suggest. One is you have to commit yourself to always be learning, right? If there's one thing, and this gets back to sort of the curiosity, if there's one thing that you have absolute control over in your career, it's your dedication to continue to learn about your craft of sales, about your customers, about the products you sell, the markets they serve, all of that. And there's just so much information available today. There shouldn't be a day that goes by without you learning something new. And then beyond that, you know, I think is what's really important for sellers to think about. This is a tip you can use in every interaction you have with a buyer, is set yourself 4 goals. And then my goal is 4 goals going into that call. They are, 1 is I'm going to do something to deepen my connection with the buyer. I'm going to do something to deepen my discovery, to learn something new about them. I'm going to do something to deepen my understanding of their current situation, where they want to be. And I'm going to deepen the value I provide for them. And if you focus on that and say, I've set myself this goal for every call that I'm going to accomplish these 4 things, the end result will be is the buyer will have made some progress toward making a decision. Maybe not a huge bit of progress, could be some progress, but that progress to the buyer is value. You know, according to research by Gartner and the former CEB, that's how your buyers are measuring value. Was I able to take this interaction with the seller and make progress toward making my decision?
Next one is a pretty interesting question they ask. In the first five minutes of the call, how do you break the ice and start building a good rapport?
Yeah, you know, this is really sort of individual. You know, there's some sales coaches say, you know, don't don't use small talk, you know, don't. And I actually am the other way. I think small talk is really important. I think the science shows that small talk is the way that you build rapport with someone, is you find a common ground. So for instance, you know, in this age today, given that we have this worldwide shared experience of this pandemic, if you can't find a question to ask a buyer on a personal level about how they're coping with this, either on a personal or business level, then maybe you don't need to be in sales. But I think for most salespeople, this is, you're finding common ground. This is a shared experience. And so I think in general, shared experiences, and you can use LinkedIn and all the online resources to find those, but start with identifying a point of shared experience, common ground. And from that point, then the doors start opening up.
Right. So the next question that we have is, can you model sales success to improve performance? And if so, how?
I'm not sure what they mean by can you model sales success. I mean, I think I think we want to be cautious in sales in general, right? We have these great tools, RingDNA sells great tools this, where you can listen to calls, you can analyze your calls, you can extract keywords, you can, there's certain metrics you can look at, all extremely important. But at the end of the day, is you are going to be unique in the way you sell, just because you're unique as an individual. And so you need to be able to experiment and consciously experiment with new things, you know, new techniques, new ways of asking questions, new ways of doing discovery, and keep sort of, you know, A-B testing and find the things that work for you. And yeah, they may not completely align with your, you know, designated sales process. That's okay, because you'll be performing at a higher level. And so that's really the critical thing, is keep experimenting with new ways to do things.
All right. So the next question that we have is, how do you differentiate sales mindset, sales attitude, and sales ethics?
Well, I mean, I think sales ethics sort of start with the baseline, is right. Are you a person of good character? Do you have good values? And that's really where the ethics comes from. So that should be at the base of everybody, because yeah, if the customer has a reason to doubt you, the reason not to have trust in you, then that's gonna influence everything, you know, in a negative way for you. So yeah, start with good values, good character. Yeah, attitude is something that again is somewhat personal for people, but this is where I think the curiosity comes in, is that for me, throughout my career, and I've been in sales for 43 years, so is I just was driven to want to learn about these new people I was meeting and their companies and their business. And that for me was so motivating and continues to be motivating for everything I've done in my career, is desire to learn about other people and how they're doing their business and so on. So I think if you're looking for one attitudinal thing, you can really focus on curiosity is really the one.
Nice. So the next one that we have is, how is a growth mindset and a sales mindset similar yet different at the same time?
Wow. Heavy questions. Well, again, I think it really ties to the answer I just gave about curiosity Yeah, for growth mindset, it's growth that's having this attitude of abundance, right? That there's abundance of opportunities out there. And I learned that lesson fairly early in my career. I remember complaining to a sales manager in my first job about, you know, there were no good prospects, which was ridiculous. And he took me aside. I said, well, here's the thing. He said, it's a big world out there. Go find another one. And I think that's, if you have that attitude, right? If you think that, if you're a seller and you think, oh, we're not getting any good leads, or gosh, the list I'm given doesn't have any good, then keep making calls, find another one. I think that growth mindset is that there's an abundance of opportunities out there. Curiosity is really key, because you have to have that open mind to think, yeah, there's somebody out there that's just waiting for me to call them that has a need for what we're going to sell. So curiosity, open mind, drive a lot of that growth mindset.
So the next question that we have is there a way to assess someone's sales mindset? How do you do that?
Well, again, I'm probably in a minority because I'm generally not a huge fan of personality assessments, right? I'll give you an example. I took one 2 years ago for sales, and the results were I shouldn't have been in sales. Now I've had a very successful career in sales, and I think you're really looking just for character and values. Start with that, right? You're getting a good person. You know, is there, you know, they have a desire to serve, right? Do they look at themselves as somebody that sort of has that servant mindset? Yeah, it's great. You want to be confident. You want to be outgoing. Some of these, you know, other characteristics. But yeah, I was sort of the opposite when I got into my career. I was very introverted when I first started in sales, and it was extremely hard transition for me. If I had taken one of those assessments early on, I probably would have never been in sales. But I'm such a strong believer that, you know, if there are 7 billion people in the world, there are 7 billion different ways to succeed at sales. And you just need to keep experimenting and find your path.
Right. So I think we'll take one last question here. What are the common roadblocks in developing a sales mindset?
Well, I think there are two. So I think the one is external to you, which is that, and I referred to this earlier, is that increasingly in sales, too many sales leaders and sales managers are defaulting to technology and to process to drive what happens in sales. And as a result, they're not enabling their sellers to become the best version of themselves. So the external roadblock is actually can be your sales manager. And so I talked about experimenting before I think the common thread among successful people that I've known in sales and as well as in my own career is that I took risks, meaning I took risks within the context of how we sold and our process to do things, to try to find a path that worked for me. It didn't necessarily work for everybody else. So I think that's one is you have to be willing to take a risk and maybe push back a little bit against sales managers. I know sales managers listening probably don't hear that, but as an individual, you have to. I think the internal one, as I talked about before, is curiosity, not to be redundant, but that just drives so much. I mean, if you're out there day after day and you're making, let's say you're an SDR and you're making, you know, 30, 40, 50 calls a day, and you're not inherently curious about the people you're connecting with and curious to learn about them, then the job is just going to be drudgery and you're going to hate it. On the other hand, if you're fascinated by that, if that really drives you, then, you know, you'll be like me, you'll be 43 years into sales. And, you know, I've, you can see in the background, I've got my sales podcast. We have nearly 800 episodes we've done so far. I tell people it's the most selfish thing I've done in my life because every day I talk to somebody, I learn something new. And I'm at the tail end of my career, and I'm still driven by learning things new. So if you carry that with you throughout your whole career, you've got a great career ahead of you.
Thanks, Andy. Thank you so much for answering the questions. We have a few more, so we'll send it up to you in the mail, and probably you can answer those questions for us.
I will do that.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you. Hey, thank you for watching the recording. Do check us out at Ampus B2B Bench for more such killer content. Also, don't forget to go to www.amplus.com and book your free demo for Amplus Enterprise version to rank your next customer.